This is Normalized PTSD, and welcome back. Today we have Danny. I met Danny in a group therapy session with the VA. I wanted to check it out and see what it was all about. And then through that, we had a couple group meetings and met her, and she's a firecracker, you know. And I really enjoyed chat with her. I was really grateful for her jumping on here and telling her story. Also just made me think, you know, like there's a lot of details and personal things that these individuals have shared offline with me and that kind of contributed to the stories or whatnot, but those details are not going to be able to be presented to everyone. And, you know, that's just the way it is sometimes. But Danny's story is awesome. The way that she's getting after it, taking care of herself and, you know, prioritizing her mental health. It's really inspiring. So I hope you guys get something positive out of this and yeah, enjoy. Okay. Today we're chatting with Danny. I actually met Danny in a unique situation that I guess we can get into, but Danny, just tell the group and everybody, like, who are you and what brings you here?
Hi, Jonathan. Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening and supporting Joe here and his podcast. So it is interesting how we met, and we vibe through virtual group therapy. So opening up and feeling and seeing how similar and relatable our situations were, or what we were feeling towards any particular situation, what kind of made us click. And of course, for social media. But
yeah, absolutely. I remember, I'm sorry, like you really inspired me. Like, I think it was in the first group session that we had, and maybe it was the second one. And they're like, that mindfulness practice, and like you just jumped into it, and I was like, oh shit, like we're gonna do this, huh? And I was like, all right, if Danny's doing it, I'm doing it.
I think my intent was, I don't really like this whole idea of therapy. Well, I didn't like this whole idea of therapy because I was raised and treated in a culture where seeking mental health was negative. It was a negative thing to do. It was, you got shit on, people would say, oh, you're crazy, or just suck it up. Like having the willingness to go through therapy and dive right in after so many attempts, I was like, okay, I'm gonna go in head first, whatever, if I drown, I drown. And I knew that you guys would probably be feeling the same way as me, like when they started with the, oh, we're going to practice this mindfulness exercise, I was already like, all right, here we go with this load of bullshit. But I knew that if I didn't give it a real chance, I wasn't going to know if I thought it was bullshit or not. And I mean, some things worked for me and some things didn't. But I also knew that nobody wants to be the first person to volunteer in anything. So I was like, all right, every time they ask, I would tell myself and prep myself before group, every time they ask, I'm going to be the first one to answer. So that way, so it gets to the point where everybody's answering at once. And it did get to that. It did get to the point where like, we were kind of cutting each other off, and then like, oh my bad, you go first. Or, and then when one of us, whether it had been you or me or our other participant, I won't mention her name, whoever it was, the next person didn't have to talk because we were like, yeah, I feel that way, or I see myself here, or I see this. And it became relatable. Now, there are a lot of things from the group therapy that I would change and alter to make it better as a whole, you know, for it to be more about the group talking and not the workbook that we were given. But, I mean, that will be sent in my email that I'm giving them.
Yeah, that program's brand new. My counselor hit me up and was like, hey, there's this new program. It's localized in Hawaii. You want to try it? And I was like, sure. Always looking for new experiences. So you can tell it was a bit new, but I felt like the group that we got, like, of psychologist and the nurse, like, they were amazing. Yeah, they're really awesome people. They're passionate, and they're like they really wanted to help. And I think with positive constructive feedback, it'll only improve for sure.
Yeah, we were the guinea pigs.
Yeah. And I felt like week two was better than week one. You know, I felt like it was slowly growing and getting a little bit easier for all of us. But I definitely enjoyed the group part a little bit. I think that's the most I enjoyed. The immersion therapy, I don't know. I couldn't get past the irritability of that. I was just so irritable the whole time reliving and staying in that negativity. But, you know, I would like to visit again when I have a little bit more availability where I can give it more time. And yeah, maybe with more time, it could find some sort of better outcome. I don't. So, you're a veteran. What led you to, like, on a personal level, what led you to, like, 'cause I'm similar to you in the sense where I'm like, even though I didn't enjoy the therapy, I'm going to give all of it 1,000%. And I've been doing that for about, you know, I think 3 years now with just anything that pops up that may help with my mental health, because I just want to keep improving, because I used to be really dark. And now it's like, I wake up in a better place, you know, like I spend my days in a better place. Like, at what point were you like, I got to change some stuff within me?
I think over the years, I've tried going to therapy. I think I first started going when I was on the depot. I was a drill instructor. And that's when I first was like, okay, I need to go to therapy. Because on the outside, I'm a person who gets along with just about anybody. I can relate to anyone. I used to be this very like outgoing person where it didn't matter what was going on in life. You know, the sun's coming up tomorrow morning. And then I honestly don't know where it all, like, what was the like breaking point, but I went through a period in my life around like 2014, 2015, where like just back to back to back, like bad things, like whether it was with work or in my personal life, and even with my family, like, you know, deaths in my family and affecting my work. There was just a whole long list of things that were going on. And I was like, you know what? Let me try therapy. Also, full send, it was the only break you could get as a Marine Corps drill instructor, whether it was like a medical appointment. You had to have something serious going on. And it was hell down there. But there were true underlying issues. Like, truthfully, there was things going on. I remember I got diagnosed with like severe anxiety and like borderline depression disorder, something, I don't even know, some medical jargon. And I was going to see this psychologist, and I honestly, he made me feel stupid. And I say that in a way because the way he talked to me, maybe that's just his way of talking and like breaking things down. But like, I didn't need help with the understanding of what he was trying to do part, you know, like just explain it to me, whatever. But it was almost like he was, the psychologist I had, he was talking to me in a condescending manner. So I was like, maybe it was because I was in a like very fragile state or whatever. I don't know. I mean, it was a while ago, but that made me like not want to go back. So after like a couple sessions, I didn't go back. I started back again with someone else. Here, I felt more comfortable. My psychologist was more like, he was easier to talk to. Very like relatable. Like, he was also a veteran, so there was like similarities and things that he had experienced, you know, even as a psychologist, right? And then it went back to like every single time it feels like, you know, you're being treated like a kid, you know, like people are so fragile, like you're made out of glass. So it's really hard to ask for help and to say, hey, I'm struggling mentally. Hey, I'm upset. I've been going to sleep crying for 6 months, and I don't even know the source of the sadness, because then people start treating you differently, or they're at like a one-arm distance length because they think everything will offend you or everything will trigger you, when that's not necessarily the case, you know? And I think the past year has been very hard for me, the past year, 2 years. And I reached the point where, honestly, I just felt like my mental and emotional state collapsed the same way you would, I don't know, collapse or faint, pass out, whatever. I felt that way emotionally and mentally. And I think I got to a point where I wasn't suicidal, because I would never harm myself. I get a paper cut and I'm annoyed. I got to a point where I felt so hopeless. I didn't want to wake up in the morning, and I drank to cope, or I would drink, and it stopped being about enjoying a cold beer, but about getting blackout, wasted. And then I didn't care about like myself, my personal hygiene. And I'm someone, you can ask anyone, like, I always have a really good smelling cologne. I always have like really clean, nice shoes, because I'm a sneakerhead. There's just a lot of things about my personality that started to bleed on the outside. Like, I just couldn't hide it anymore. And so I finally broke down, and I had to go to medical for my back. And they were like, hey, do you mind filling out this survey? And for the first time, the first time I got one of those in like, 12 years, 13 years, finally answered honestly. And that obviously raised a bunch of red flags. And I think I answered honestly to an extent, but if I would have answered some other questions, like full raw, full blown sense, I think they would have left me in the hospital, because at that moment, that's what I felt. They gave me that piece of paper at the right time. Then I felt kind of bamboozled into the IVET program, because my primary psych was like, you know what? I have the perfect program for you. I'm gonna send a referral in right now. They're gonna call you and you're gonna start. And I'm thinking like, yeah, she's gonna hook me up. Well, then there's 4 hours, 2 hours of your own therapy session, 1 hour of group, 1 hour with the whole health and all the homework on top of that. But I was fortunately in a... I'm sorry?
Don't forget the questionnaire.
Oh, yeah. That had like 100 questions. Yeah. I think then I got to a point where I'm like, okay, like I can't be one foot in and one foot out. So I have to fully immerse myself in this. I think my willingness to want to get better, like mentally and emotionally and physically, had more to do than the actual therapy. But the therapy did get me back in a routine. It forced me to wake up early. It forced me to get my tasks done around these therapy times in order to be able to sit in therapy and just be fully focused on therapy, So.
Right. Which part of the therapy did you find most beneficial for you?
I think in this particular program, honestly, just getting up and doing it, just being the willingness to do it for me, like just the intent and the willingness was like, okay, I'm like, my mind is like on the right track again. I think I like the most the group therapy. And I wish we were able and given more time to talk amongst ourselves, like the veterans in the group, because I feel like it could have been much more beneficial, and or maybe give more time to the group therapy part and less time to the individual session in order to kind of balance it out. And I think for sure, number one, the most beneficial thing for me was group. I realized that, you know, we didn't have a big group, but we really like felt very, very similar. And I won't say identical situations, because I can guarantee you that everything we talked about in our individual session was different. I can almost bet, I would bet anything on it. And yeah. But the outcome and the relatability and, you know, the way everything was structured, I mean, we all like, okay, yeah, whatever Danny said, what Joe said, what she said, you know, like everything was so, it almost felt like too familiar. And then it kind of was like sad, like, shit, they fucking feel like this too. Like, that's kind of sad. And then that made me realize that, like, knowing what you were feeling was so similar, and me having like all this empathy towards you and zero empathy towards myself. And that kind of clicked.
Right.
And I became a little selfish, started cutting people out, started like boxing myself in, mostly in my head, but, and realizing that, man, maybe if I'm a little more compassionate and empathetic with myself, I can not feel guilty for something that wasn't my fault or something that I had no control over, you know? And that's where I think group was the most beneficial, because I know we didn't get to talk very much. And you and I have been able to get to know each other outside of group. However, just kind of like that switch flipping where it's like, man, if you feel like this towards this guy that you've never met, that you just met on a virtual setting, you should at least feel something like towards yourself, you know, like, and I think that's where it kind of clicked for me, and it became the most beneficial. Now, I did enjoy somewhat. It wasn't like an enjoy in a, oh my God, I can't wait for therapy. It was more of an enjoy that I was able to release
yeah.
a lot of stuff during my individual sessions. I was able to let go of a lot of things. But ultimately, like, it doesn't go away. It's this kind of stuff, like, the PTSD doesn't go away. It doesn't matter how much you talk about it, how much you relive the situation, how much you put yourself in positions that trigger it. I don't think it goes away. I just, you know, it kind of just gets easier to, I guess, manage, but there is no real way to eliminate that kind of trauma you go through where you're like reliving shit over and over again in 3 weeks. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, give it time. It gets a lot easier for sure. It's like anything, you know, like right now I would not be able to run a marathon, and I would hate running, and running would suck. But if I started today, in another 3-4 years, I'll be able to run. As long as I'm consistently putting in the effort, it's going to consistently get better. I just want to like wrap back to something you just said earlier where you're cutting people out. Was that a good cutting people out, like removing some negativity out of your life? Or was that more like, I see a lot of veterans will isolate themselves. You know, I did it. I have friends that do it. They'll isolate themselves from others because they feel like they're toxic and they don't want to like project that negativity on the ones that they love and care about. Like, ballpark, what was yours?
I think, so I am the type of person that when I'm going through stuff, I do go in full isolation. I go through all these things in my head and I'm just like, man, like, you know, beating myself up. What's wrong with me? Like, how can I fix me? Like, because, you know, I was like getting angry with people close to me. I was having a very, very short fuse, like patience in my body was, it became non-existent, you know, and it's not other people's fault what you're going through. But part of the isolation was also that I give so much of myself to other people. And I give and I give and I give. And then I realized that while I was going through all of this, I didn't have very many people in my corner. It was more of like, all these people that have been taking from me for so long, they were kind of like in a place where like giving me space because I'm going through a lot, but I didn't feel like people were in my corner. I didn't feel like they had my back, or because, you know, when you talk about the difficulties about talking about trauma and your PTSD symptoms or what relates to them is that when you talk about it with family members, the people that care about you, they're biased towards you, obviously. And then they're like, they start feeling bad for you and sad. And then it's like, you don't get like the truth, or you don't get to like, I guess, navigate through all these individual emotions that you're feeling at the same time, because, you know, they're like, they, depending on who they are, they're going to coddle you. Yes. They're going to coddle you. Then when you talk about it with like your friends that are like honest and they tell you when you fuck up and when you don't, they kind of don't. I mean, they're not everybody is equipped or emotionally mature enough to have these types of conversations. So they kind of like, oh, suck it up or move on, or, oh, tomorrow's another day. Like, I know tomorrow's another day. Like, don't say it's obvious, you know, but also I realized that in all this giving and all this, like, trying to figure out who I can talk to and who I can't talk to, like, I wasn't talking to myself. Like, I went from talking to myself negatively to, like, almost, like, shutting myself out. Like, this me versus me battle was, like, silent treatment, which is even worse than, you know, talking to yourself negatively, because at least you're talking to yourself. But, you know, then I was just, like, complete, like, it was like nothing bothered me. Nothing made me mad. Nothing made me sad. Nothing made me happy. And I realized that I just can't, I don't have to change who I am. I just have to be more selective on who I'm giving my energy to, which, you know, it kind of sucks because I am a very like genuine, I'll take my shirt off and give it to you. I'll take my shoes off and give it to you. Like, I don't call people every day or answer all my messages. However, I do show up for when it matters. And I felt like I was drowning. Like, I didn't know how to ask for help. And all these people that like are surrounding me that claim to know me so well, that, you know, have my back when I need it and ask for help, like, didn't realize. And, you know, part of it was me not even realizing that I was in such a dark place in my mind, but also like the people around me. Like, it was almost like once I wasn't giving because of what I was going through, like, I ceased to matter, which in turn, like,
I feel like, you know, at some point you got to start making the realization that you can't give that energy out all the time, and sometimes you got to work on yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't feel like the better you can be for yourself, the better version of yourself you can be for others, you know, the better person you are for them.
Yeah. And, you know, with all that, not putting my energy into certain things opened other doors, and I made new friendships and I created new bonds, and I put myself in places where I was hanging out with a whole new group of people, which ended up making my last couple of weeks in Hawaii a lot better than what they would have been if I was in like straight up hermit isolation in my room. And I went months where I would be in Hawaii, but I wouldn't leave my room or leave the house unless I absolutely had to. So if I had to go to the grocery store, if I had to like buy toilet paper, like just real necessities that I needed to have. If not, I wouldn't leave. And Hawaii is beautiful, you know, like the beaches, just driving. I don't know about driving now because gas is real expensive, but, you know, just sightseeing or like going to eat ice cream with a friend. Like, I just wasn't like, I wasn't doing any of these things. Like, I just like stopped, you know?
Right. So, What benefits did you identify, like, from doing the therapy? What are some things that came up that you were like, okay, like, I want to start doing more of that? One thing I heard is, like, you know, you really felt like there's positive in being around like-minded veterans, you know. Have you thought about any groups or anything? Because, like, you just relocated, and that's kind of going to be tough. Like, did you relocate to where there's family, friends, or was it for work?
So, I think, you know, you can't receive help unless you're willing to help yourself. And I always go back, and almost every question has this as part of the answer, to where, you know, I realized that I needed help, and I, you know, like, forced myself to ask for help, which is something that I struggle with in general, just asking for help for anything, really. So when it came to asking for help for my mental and emotional state, like, you're just, you know, that's like 1000% vulnerability right there. Like, I don't even want to ask somebody to give me a ride to the store. Like, how do I ask for help, because I don't want to wake up tomorrow morning type stuff, you know? I think the benefits of, like, I mean, obviously our group therapy staff, they were amazing. Like, they were, I don't even know how to describe how great and what a perfect timing of them coming into my life, and how that group was chosen. I don't know, but I hope that they're the ones running the program in the long haul. And I have not looked into groups. I just finished therapy last week, and I haven't transferred my care to the East Coast. But once I do, I think I'm going to look into more of a group setting, and then, like, toning back down on the individual sessions, not because I want to avoid it, but because I find it better, and it's easier to just, you know, talk like me and you are talking, you know, like, just have a conversation, talk story, you know, how did it affect you? What did you do to help you? Like, oh, I've tried this, that, you know. And I think ultimately this transitional period has been an emotional roller coaster in regards to, I've been doing therapy during this transition. So I'm giving myself a break. I'm surrounded with family. I'm currently in Puerto Rico, actually. And I'm actually at my sister's house. So I'm at my sister's house, and I'm hanging out with my nephews, which I hadn't seen since last year. And they're
nice,
suffocating me with all their love, which I'm very grateful for. And so I really haven't had, you know, I don't know, I'm distracted in a good way. You know, I'm busy with my family. We have some important events going on this week, and my mom will be here tomorrow, and my brother will be here tonight. And, you know, so this week it'll have a lot of interesting stuff. You know, we might be a little stressed, might be a couple family feud incidents, normal stuff, but I'm grateful that after the therapy, what they say is that, like, your symptoms kind of, like, get high again, because now you're like, no therapy again, which actually they did kind of, like, get a little high for like two days. I was very irritable, but right now I feel like I'm chilling, you know, like, just having a good time.
Yeah. I had emotions for, like, the first 2-3 days of my therapy. And then after that, it's like everything in me just kind of shut down. And it wasn't until yesterday, I guess it was like day 5 of having a break, that I had, had any emotions at all. And it was interesting seeing that progression. Initially, it was being able to reconnect with one of the events that I was discussing in my therapy And then that was followed by irritability for the rest of the day. So I had a little bit of that too. Did you learn any tools or anything in therapy that you're going to continue doing moving forward? And after that, like, what's the next step on your progression to finding a more balanced mental health?
You know, there were a lot of things that happened that, you know, got me to this point. Ultimately, one of the things that I do now very often, almost every single time, is thinking about how I'm going to feel if I go out, for example, you know, our whole SUD scale. Like, what are your SUDs? What are your pre-SUDs, your peak, and your post? So, and I say that to say that, to see, now I'm more aware of, like, okay, I'm going to the grocery store, which I just hate in general, but I don't really like being in crowds of people. I don't like being in a building where I don't see an exit. I don't like when people get close to me. There's just a lot of things that I'm easily startled and I get very frustrated, but I obviously don't show it on the outside, but on the inside, I'm going crazy. So now I think about, like, I'm mindful of the times I go places. Right. I don't want to avoid everything altogether because I don't want to avoid the world, you know, because, like, I still like to go out. I want to have a good time. However, I'm more mindful about, okay, I'm going out. This is how I think I'm going to feel. I think about when I'm, wherever I'm at, how I'm feeling. And then afterwards, I reflect on, you know, whatever it was. Did I go out to dinner? Did I go out to the movies? Was I on a drive? Was I on an airplane? You know, like, I find myself thinking about, you know, what I'm feeling beforehand, how I'm feeling during, and how I felt after, and then reflecting on, okay, maybe I felt this way because of this situation. How can I improve that? So mostly just taking the time to reflect. And I think, you know, being in the Marine Corps for 9 years, I was on the go, 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 go. After my end of active service, I remained on the go. After 2 weeks, I had a job. After some time, I had a full-time job and full-time school. And then at one point, I was doing 2 full-time jobs, then full-time school. Then it was like full-time, part-time school, remained constant full time, you know, and then I had a life on top of that and I had friends.
Do you feel like you're trying to stay so busy so you didn't get bored and have that moment to where, like, you were stuck with yourself and thinking?
I think that I never gave myself that chance to reflect on things. I never gave myself, every time something would happen, or I was put in a situation where it left a significant amount of trauma or damage, I just moved, you know, just moved forward. Tomorrow's a new day. And I never gave myself the time to feel the feelings. I never gave myself the time to reflect on those feelings. I can say, and I'll say this for people that will be listening, like, I've gone through watching close friends die. I've gone through having Marines that were my Marines, you know, commit suicide. I've gone through sexual assault, sexual harassment, and even rape. And all these things that, you know, happened and while I was in the military, like, the whole working in a hostile environment, that's a real thing. And that really does affect you. And sometimes you don't realize it to the point where you become part of the environment and you become part of the hostility and you don't give yourself a break to, like, think about those things. You don't talk about them because they're traumatizing. And then one day something very minor happens and everything just blows up. Everything blows up in your face and you're like, holy fuck. And then all of a sudden it's 2022 and you're in therapy discussing things that happened to you in 2014, 2015, like 7, 8 years ago. And I'm like, damn, all these feelings that I had, I just shoved them. Like, I became great at isolating, an expert at avoidance. And therapy, to answer your question, really the willingness of going through therapy and being open to whatever it was going to bring to me taught me to allow myself to feel these emotions, to reflect on them, but not to allow them to linger. And it also taught me to isolate these moments, because when you look back at certain situations, you're like, man, I was so sad, or I was crying, or I was so angry, or I was so irritated. But you don't really think until you're taught, or until you go through therapy, to isolate all these things are different emotions you were feeling. They're at different levels. But none of those were empathy towards myself, compassion. You know, I was stuck in thoughtless traps where I was asking why this, why that. And at the end of all these questions, it was a thought trap, because I didn't have the answer to why, because it was something out of my control. And ultimately, I think what will stick with me out of this particular program is, you know, reflecting and allowing myself to feel all the emotions, because I was definitely for a long time feeling very, very numb. And I didn't realize it as much until now, where I look back and I'm like, wow, like, I wasn't excited for this. I wasn't excited for that. I faked it here. An example I can give you, I graduated college this past December, and it was a sense of relief, like no more homework, no more 10-page papers, no more bullshit. I got my bachelor's degree to like match my experience, and, you know, and then, but I wasn't like super excited, you know, like I should be like, you know, pumped about this shit. And I wasn't. And recently I got my diploma in the mail and I opened it, and I honestly thought I was going to be super pumped at seeing my degree, you know, that cheap piece of paper they print you and they make you wait months for. And I felt no emotion. And it just made me realize that I have to reflect on, you know, what was going on at that time in my life and what didn't allow me to be receptive of all these good things that were happening to me, as well as the bad ones, because I was trying so hard to block out all the bad stuff and the negativity and avoid everything and just not think about it. But in turn, I was isolating and blocking everything out.
Right. So you couldn't be emotionally present in the moment because you're hung up on the past. It seems to be a pretty normal thing. And that sucks. But it's good that you're identifying it, as well as it's good that you're, I think you talked briefly on subs. For those that don't know what that means, it's just basically in vivo therapy. One of them is you, I guess, qualify your feelings and how uncomfortable you are before you do something, which is pretty awesome that you're still forcing yourself to do things that you're uncomfortable doing, you know, because I feel like the more that you become comfortable with uncomfortable, the easier it all becomes. So if you were to give yourself, young version you, like some advice on how to set yourself up for success in the future, how would you go about that? What would you do differently back then?
I think it's interesting that you asked me that, because one of my in vivos was to write a letter to my younger self. And of course, there's a lot of things that you tell yourself, man, I wish I would have done this differently, or I wish I would have pursued this path or that path. But I don't like to live in regret. I don't like to regret my decisions. Are there some things that you regret and you feel remorseful for? There's some things that are mistakes and there's some things that are bad, just bad choices altogether. I think I would tell myself to focus on me, to get help and ask for help. I would stress to myself how important it is to surround yourself with people that will uplift you and support you at all times, not just the good times, but the bad times too. Because we live in this world where we're afraid to talk about the bad things. We're afraid to talk about, you know, the things we've been through. And I say we, and shit, I've been afraid. I don't even know sometimes, you know, how to talk about certain things to myself. You know, I've been practicing talking to myself out loud just so I can practice, you know, letting things out and trying to let them go. And it seems like too good to be true, but it does help to some extent. But if all those, I try to look at things like, man, if all these things hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't, you know, probably be on this call with you today. And so it's hard to not have a certain appreciation for all the fucked up shit you went through. However, I would encourage myself to seek help, to get help, and to not let it get as bad, to not portray this bad stigma to where, particularly in the military or jobs where you're a first responder, you're a police officer, a nurse, a doctor, like you can't call out sick. They put in the military specifically, you can't just call and say like, hey, I'm not feeling well today. Like it just doesn't work that way. Like you're on duty 24/7 and people don't encourage you to take care of your mental health and your emotional health the same way you would take care of, you know, a broken leg or a broken arm. I think I would definitely encourage myself to seek help sooner. I remember I even did like, I was forced to do some anger management class. It was like a 3-day class and, you know, I wasn't receptive to it. Like because it's not the type of culture and environment that we're fostering. And I've seen a lot of changes, you know, in like today from like 10 years ago, but it's still not something that's popular. Like,
I think that there's a shift coming for sure. I'm seeing it. I've been talking to a lot of police officers and one nurse, one paramedic, and you can see that mental health is slowly making its way in there as physical health and like all these other attributes that they value and think are important. Mental health is slowly getting up in there, as well as there's a lot more support, and it's exciting for sure that shift is happening, because it seems like you had it. It seems like we all see the negative aspect of mental health. Like that's how I was like raised up. That's how I always saw it. You know, mental health is weak. You know, if you seek help, you're weak and all this nonsense. And that's what's made it hard for me to go get help, is because I was like, I don't want to be perceived as that. And after starting, I realized it's way harder getting help than it is pretending everything's fine. So I really hope that shift continues.
I agree because you find yourself, I feel like the most damaged individuals, and I don't say damaged in like a negative way, but the people who are feeling the most broken, you know, mentally and emotionally, or can't find the right tools to cope and to deal with whatever it is that they're going on with, are the ones that are out helping people the most, are the ones that are setting their own issues aside to give somebody advice, to be a shoulder for someone to cry on, to be supportive, to whatever the case is. And and not realizing, like, every time that somebody talks to you about their problems, when you're a person that cares and you're a person of action and you're a person of that, okay, so how can we solve this or how can I help you? You kind of take a little bit of that burden off of them and you put it onto yourself, not realizing that you're adding all this baggage to the already emotional baggage that you have. And ultimately, like, the resources are out there and the tools are there, but I don't think it's still as popular as it's still as okay. Like, people say it's okay to not be okay, but then you're being fired or processed out of the military, you know? Like, so it's hard. Like, it's hard to get help. It's hard to say, like, I need help. This is what I'm going through. How can I?
Yeah, I think it is for sure. I'm hopeful. Like, I'm not just hopeful there. And the more I'm talking to some of these organizations that are out there, there's help. It's just knowing where to go find it, where to look for it. And there's a lot of help that's outside of the organization of the military or the police departments and those things. Like, I that's the other shift, is the support is becoming more available for all. And I think that's really exciting.
I think I'm excited. I'm excited for myself. I think the best thing I could say that I took from therapy was viewing my particular traumas and triggers from a different perspective, the same way I would view yours. So just removing myself and just, like, trying to be an outsider looking in, like, man, how would I feel if somebody close to me went through this? And, you know, what would I tell them, or how could I help them? And then realizing that how could I help them was how could I help me? And just shifting my focus really towards me. Like, I'm learning that taking care of yourself is not being selfish. You know, a lot of times that's another thing that kind of affects you. Like, man, if I'm taking care of me and I'm doing all this stuff for me, like, I'm being selfish because I'm not making time for anything else, you know? And, you know, just realizing that taking care of my mental health is not 100%. Selfish. Taking
that, care, Danny, of myself. Any last
is
words
for me,
we'll
and
wrap this
it is
up.
Gonna
I really appreciate you coming on here.
Everyone
I feel
else
like
around
it's gonna
me,
be
you know?
Really useful for anyone that wants to listen.
Well, first, I would like to thank you for inviting me to be on your podcast. Secondly, congratulate you, because I think this is a really awesome thing that you're doing here for not only for yourself, but for people like me, for all these people that you're trying to reach. I know that whether you impact one or you impact thousands, like, you're still, like, making an impact. And as you help yourself and you go through this process, like, you're helping us listeners, us people that participate in all of this. And I would say that this was something difficult for me to do. I was not very, like, I was all about helping and all about participating, but I didn't think about the, oh my God, this includes me talking about my life, you know, and me talking, and that we didn't peel back and go into 1000% vulnerability. But I will say that if you're not willing to receive the help, and if you're not willing to accept the help, and most importantly, put in the work, because it is work. It is emotional and it is extremely draining to put yourself through the process of healing your mental and emotional state. You won't be successful. It just, willingness is key in all of this.
Yeah, exactly. You can't go in half-assing anything, because then you just get half-assed results.
Very true.
Well, with that, we'll wrap it up. Thanks again.
I hope everybody enjoyed that. I really did. I enjoyed and appreciate Dani jumping on here. She did an awesome job and really excited to see where she goes with her mental health journey and following back up with her. So with that, we're going to wrap it up. Hope you guys have a good one. All right.